Someone to carry me before I could walk. Someone to cry to before I could talk. Ears that listen to my little prayers, hearing each one of my wants and cares. Eyes that see the pain I know. A tender heart that feels it so. Kneeling down in reverent form, his prayers are simple, not adorned. The man whom I am speaking of is God's gift, a gift of love. And through my Papa, I am able to see what the love of a Heavenly Father can be. Mender of toys, leader of boys, changer of fuses, kisser of bruises, bless him, dear Lord. Wiper of noses, pruner of roses, singer of song, writer of wrong, bless him, dear Lord. Mover of couches, soother of ouches, pounder of nails, teller of tales, reward him, O Lord. Hanger of screens, counselor of teens, fixer of bikes, chastiser of tykes, help him, dear Lord. Raker of leaves, cleaner of eaves, dryer of dishes, fulfiller of wishes, guard him, O Lord. Changer of tires, builder of fires, beloved end of all my desires, bless him, O Lord.
My father's name is not written upon a page of fame. He is not a haughty hero for ages to acclaim. He is of modest merit, with matched with such of these. From him I will not inherit any princely pedigrees. But he is brave and honest, and earnest to the core, the cream of all the commons, and who could ask for more? His love of God is loyal, he serves his Lord with zeal. His home he calls his castle, his devotional life is real. His wife, his sons, his daughters, his friends, both great and small, rise up to do him honor and love and serve him one and all. His bit of earth is better because he passed that way. We thank God for our Father on this, our Father's Day.
My father is a preacher. That causes folks to say, so you're a preacher's daughter. Then watch if I obey. Some expect more of me because of his profession, but it's Christ I don't want to hurt by any small transgression. Two sermons twice on Sunday and often in the week, at funerals and weddings, I listen to him speak. Still, after all these years, I love to hear him talk, because all that he proclaims shows in his daily walk. I want to be real careful with all my youthful vim, when he is in his study, not to disturb him. I need to toe the mark, strong discipline, but kind. I'm thankful for the things instilled within my mind. I am not complaining. In fact, I'm very glad for my home and training and for my preacher dad. Life has its many lessons that really must be learned. I am so thankful for the zeal within my heart he's burned.
I used to be your little boy who sat upon your knee and listened to the stories and the books you read to me. I used to go to see the sights and sit upon your shoulder. You always took me by the hand when I was a little older. You taught me how to throw a ball and how to ride a bike. So often you played games with me or took me on a hike. I used to be your little boy who thought so much of you, who looked at you with love and pride, and Papa, I still do.
I used to be your little girl who was always there to greet you, who could hardly wait till evening came so I could run to meet you. I always shouted, "Papa's home," and then we used to play, and I would tell you everything that happened on that day. You used to ride me piggyback and toss me in the air. I never was afraid because I knew that you'd be there. I used to love you way back then,
and you know I always will. I used to be your little girl, and Papa, I am still.
Faithful to God through thick and thin, allowing His Spirit to reign within, taking much time to teach and to train His children the heavenly crown to gain, ever protecting and loving His wife, ready to give for His family His life. This is a father. Only a father could understand the special things His children have planned. Only a father can share, it seems, the vision and challenge of loftiest dreams. When encouragement's needed or questions arise, and you need to find someone who's strong and wise, someone who sees you with love in his eyes, only a father will do.
A father's hands are gentle, a father's hands are strong, guiding, helping, teaching, showing right from wrong. And the protection of a father's hands and the love that's in their touch give the feeling of security a child needs so much. And although they may be rough from toil, a child still understands how much of life's true beauty comes from a father's hands.
Another year has rolled around, another Father's Day has come, and once again the chance to say thank you for all you've done. I'm sure you do not realize how much you've done for me, helped me keep on pressing on when my way I could not see. In the days when I was younger, you kindly taught me right from wrong, so now that I am older, I'd have this faith to lean upon. When I was but a child so small, with problems that seemed too great, you listened to my childish woes and gently showed me my mistake. But best of all is your example of your faith in God above, and you put it into practice as you showered us with love. Precious Papa, as I look back on those memories sweet and dear, you were always there to guide us and take away all fear. So as I stand here remembering those things from long ago, I'm thankful for all you taught us, and I just want you to know that I really do appreciate it and your efforts weren't in vain, for from my hurts and struggles, heaven has become my aim.
Anyone can become a father, but it takes someone special to be a papa. What is a papa? A papa is someone who loves and cares for his children. A papa delights in fulfilling the needs of his family rather than satisfying his own desires. A papa can crawl on the floor with a toddler or have a heart-to-heart talk with a teenager. A papa is someone who knows how to work hard but also knows how to play. A papa is someone who's not ashamed to cry, but someone who can be very ornery as well. A papa can laugh and rejoice with you in success, or be quite stern when he gives you a correction. A papa can preach fiery sermons and powerful devotions, or whisper sweet nothings to his wife. A papa can be bold, determined, and daring, or filled with fun and mischief. A papa teaches his children many spiritual lessons as well as the practical lessons of life. A papa is constantly stirring his children on to higher heights and deeper depths in their Christian lives. A papa is someone who prays daily for his children, that God would pour his Spirit upon his sons and daughters. A papa loves his children with all of a father's love, but gladly gives them up to answer God's call in their lives. A papa is the heart of a soldier, the loftiness of an eagle, and the gentleness of a lamb, all in one. He is the glory of his children, the joy of his wife, and a pillar of the church. I sure do love you, Papa.
Be more than his dad. Be a friend to the lad. Be a part of his life every hour of the day. Find time to talk with him. Take time to walk with him. Share in his studies and share in his play. Take him to places. Meet some new faces. Teach him the things that you want him to know. Don't live apart from him. Don't keep your heart from him. Be his best comrade. He's needing you so. Never neglect him. Though young, still respect him. Hear his opinions with patience and pride. Show him his error, but be not a terror, grim-visaged and fearful when he's at your side. Know what his thoughts are. Know what his plans are. Know all his playmates. It's easy to learn, too. Be such a father that when troubles gather, you'll be the first one for counsel he'll turn to. You can inspire him with courage and fire him, hot with ambition for deeds that are good. He'll not betray you, nor illy repay you, if you have taught him the things that you should. Father and son must in all things be one, partners in trouble and comrades in joy.
You may never be as clever as your neighbor down the street. You may never be as wealthy as some other men you meet. You may never have the glory that some other men have had, but you've got to be successful as your little father, your little fellow's dad. There are certain dreams you cherish that you'd like to see come true. There are things you would accomplish ere your working time is through. But the task your heart is set on is to guide your little lad and to make yourself successful as that little fellow's dad. It is that one job you dream of. It's the task you think of most. If you fail that growing youngster, you'll have nothing else to boast. For though wealth and fame you gather, all your future would be sad if you failed to be successful as your little fellow's dad. You may never get earth's glory. You may never gather gold. Men may count you as a failure when your business life is told. But if he who follows after is a Christian, you'll be glad, for you'll know you've been successful as that little fellow's dad. Papas, rise to the challenge.
Blessing to be here. What a rich blessing we've had already. greet each one in Jesus' name. I want to welcome the visitors. Seems we have many these days during the summer. We're blessed. We're delighted that you've come our way. Some of you we know, some of you we don't know. We're very glad to have you here. Well, I want to continue the theme this morning and speak on the subject of fatherhood. Proverbs 17, verse 6, the last part of the verse was quoted already. But the Scripture says that the glory of children is their fathers. I'm not sure all what that means, but I think that it seems to mean, you know, when you meet a child, they seem to think that their dad is the best dad in the whole wide world, and there's no papa like their papa. I guess that's what it means, that the glory of children is their fathers. I don't understand all what that means, but I believe that God puts some special thing inside the heart of every child toward their father. And I believe it's because God wants to use those fathers to motivate and train and stimulate and guide those children in a right way. So God does something special inside their hearts toward their father. I think we as fathers need to take advantage of that which God has kind of placed, especially in the hearts of our children. We ought to take advantage of it because it may not always be there in the way that it is now. While our children are young, while they're growing up, the glory of children is their fathers. I'd like to exalt fatherhood this morning. In fact, I was very glad for the opportunity as we pondered several weeks back that Father's Day was coming and we'd have an opportunity to maybe share a little bit about fatherhood. It is a common complaint at our home this time of the year. It's hard to find good material on fatherhood. I don't know if you've noticed that, but we notice it as we go looking for some poems to share about fathers. We find that they're hard to find. As you go looking for cards for your father, we find that they don't quite say the same things that the cards say for mothers. And as I look for books to read on this subject, I came home last night sadly disappointed, I might add. I went to my bookshelf, and I have well over a dozen books on the home, I know, on my bookshelf, and I just went and pulled them all out and started looking through the indexes and looked for chapters on fatherhood. Oh, I have about this many books on home. And out of this many books on home, I found about this many down here that had one chapter on fatherhood, and that was all. Well, I gathered those five books together and opened up those chapters and began to read. And I came home last night sadly disappointed. My wife, she knew it right away when I walked through the door, sat down in the living room. She said, "What's wrong? Something's not right. How was your day?" I said, "Well, it's just hard to find what I'm looking for. I looked through this book, I read here, I read there. It's hard to find what I'm looking for. It's not there." And she reminded me again, yes, we know, we found the same thing when we were looking for poems. So we like to exalt fatherhood a little bit this morning. Maybe into a place where it isn't, but it's a place where it ought to be. somewhere we lost fatherhood in this land. As I pondered it yesterday, I thought to myself, we may have to go back about 100 years to find him. I'm not sure where we lost him. But somewhere we lost him in this land. And now we live in a day where generations of fathers have not been where they're supposed to be, what they're supposed to be. They have not been. So when you go to the bookshelves and you look for some material on this subject, you don't find it. You go to look for some poems, you find very, very few of them. It'd be a good challenge to some of you writers, you poets. Write some good poems about fathers. Something that'll stir a generation of men to rise up to the challenge that lays before them. Well, I don't know what happened to Father, but I think I can give a few thoughts about it this morning. What happened to Father? What happened to fatherhood? What happened to this glorious place called fatherhood in the minds and hearts of men, in the minds and hearts of women and children? What happened to it? Well, he leaves at 6 a.m. and he gets home at 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Saturday is catch-up day. And Sunday is church and fellowship. In many, many places, this is the commentary that we find. The children would say, I say goodbye to him at 6 a.m. in the morning. I say hello to him at 6 p.m. in the evening. We have supper together and visit a little. And I say goodnight at 8 p.m. What happened to Father? Where did he go? This is why I say this morning, we may have to go back 100 years to find him. Things have changed in our land. Today, the father figure is one who provides for us. He teaches us a little in the evening, and he takes us to church. I'm speaking in the Christian context, not the worldly one, but the Christian one. He's the one who provides for us. He teaches us a little in the evening, and he takes us to church on Sunday. Whatever happened to Father? We're so far removed that some of the things that I may say this morning will offend some that hear it. They'll say, radical, extreme, absurd. Oh, what is he talking about? Don't be so ridiculous. We are so far removed from fatherhood today that some will think I'm pretty radical at some of the things that I say. But think with me. Imagine with me. We'll find ourselves in the same situation. Give this land 2 more generations of mothers who work away every day, who take their children to the daycare center, who serve TV dinners in the evening to the family, and live in city dwellings where there's nothing to do. You give this land 2 more generations of mothers that are living like this, and there will grow up generations of daughters who will have no idea what motherhood is. Step into that scene 2 generations from now and talk to a bunch of women about being a mother, and they'll say, ridiculous, radical, extreme, absurd. What happened to Father? Where did he go? Where can we find him in this great land that we live in? In this progressive America, land of progress. Where happened to Father? How do we find him? Well, we may be able to find him in many places, but this morning, I believe that we can find him on that little family farm. or in that small shop next to the house, or down in that storefront shop where the house was upstairs and Dad worked downstairs, in the shop, in the storefront, even in the city. I believe we can find Him. We lost Him when He turned His focus on other things and lost the godly principles. But I believe this morning we can find Him on that little family farm, or in that little shop next to the house, or downstairs in that storefront shop where the family lives upstairs. We can get a glimpse of how it was 100 years ago, and I believe we can find Father. We see Him there in the house reading His Bible in the early morning. When Johnny gets up, he finds Him there sitting by himself in the living room. Johnny and Father, they go together to do the chores, to feed the animals and milk the cow. And as they are there feeding those animals, milking those cows, they visit together. They share things. They talk. They talk about the things of the day to come. Excitement, blessings, future plans, burdens, struggles. Yeah, there you'll find Father walking down the lane with Johnny, heading toward the house with the smell of breakfast floating in the air. There you'll find Father as He gathers His family around the table. There's Mother. There are the girls in the kitchen making breakfast for the family. There you'll find Father sitting down around the table with His family. Prayer, maybe a song, and a meal together while we visit, share blessings, exhort one another, and encourage one another. There's Father sitting around the table with His family in the beginning of the day. Where will you find Him? Where is that Father? He's there on the little family farm, or in the little shop there next to the house. They move from the kitchen into the living room. And there He gathered His family, again around the family altar, where there's a little fire burning. Oh, He wasn't a prophet. He may not have been the greatest man of God, but there was a little fire burning there around that family altar. And He gathered His family there every morning. And they sang together. Though they may not have been in tune, they might not have sung all the songs the way they should have, but they sang there together, Father, Mother, and all the children. They opened up the Bible. They read the Word. They talked about the Word. They shared together. And there they fell on their knees and cried out to the God of heaven for His favor and His blessing upon them for this another day. Yes, there you'll find Father as He gathers His family around the table, and into the living room they go. Where will you find Father? He leaves the house with a goodbye to Mom and to the girls and Johnny, and Father head over to the little shop next to the house. There they are, working together, Johnny and Father. And they talk while they work, and they share while they're together. Burdens come on Johnny's heart, and he shares them with his dad, and his dad dreams out loud, and Johnny listens. And oh, in the middle of the morning, you can hear a song rise up out of his voice as he works there in his shop, and Johnny joins in as they sing a song together. Two little girls over in the corner playing dolls in the corner of Father's shop, in the little shop next to the house. That's where you'll find Father. The hours pass by at work. Many things take place. They look up and see that it's noontime. They walk over to the house, and there they find Mother and the older girls. They made a meal. We sit down together again, share together, sing a song, have prayer, visit, open our hearts one to another, and eat a meal together at the noontime hour. Where's Father? Where did he go? What happened to him, America? What happened to your father? You'll find him there on the little family farm, playing a little game of baseball after lunch, just a few minutes of exercise with the children. And then the girls go back to help Mom, and Johnny and Father go back to the shop. There you'll find him there through the afternoon hours, working with his son. Son working with his father. All through the day we go, and into the evening. Oh, what joy, what blessing to walk from the shop in the evening and sit down at the table and there to find everything all laid out again. There's Mom, there are the girls, and we gather around the table. Evening time comes, we take a walk together. We go for a little stroll down the road. We visit. We talk. We share. We stop. We smell the flowers. We tousle their hair. What happened to Father? He's so busy these days. Evening time. We play a game time around the table in the evening. Just sit and read an interesting book, or read a story to the children. Where's Father? What happened to him? He leaves at 6 a.m. He comes home at 6 p.m. He's very tired. He's wore out. He sends his children to bed. Day in, day out, day in, and day out. The Greek word for father is P-A-T-E-R. Pater is the word. It means nourisher. It means protector. It means upholder, encourager, director, provider, father. When we think about fathers, I think of an illustration from African culture. Maybe some of you read it on the back bulletin board. How many of you read that illustration about the African father with his little baby on the back bulletin board? Let me see. Okay. Brother Ross sent a newsletter. And in his newsletter from Africa, he shared some culture. Just a little paragraph on the African culture. And he said, in the African heathen culture, when a little baby is born, they have a custom there where they take the little baby and place it in the arms of the father, and the father puts some alcohol in his mouth, and he takes a mouthful of alcohol and he spits it into the mouth of his child, and then he gives a name to the baby. And the whole essence of that little ritual is that the father is putting his spirit, transferring his spirit into that child. I thought to myself, that's exactly what fatherhood is. Putting his spirit into the heart of his children. And we don't realize it, but it takes place either way. Whether we do it on purpose or whether we don't. Father. The definition in the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, one of the definitions of father, was one who has infused his own spirit into others. He's a father. Father is mentioned 1,300 times in the Bible. Mother is mentioned 360. Interesting to note. Father, an image of God in the home. How many times we've heard it said, and how many times we've seen it so. Father, is the image of God in the home. Oh, let us exalt this fatherhood this morning. He's the image of God in the home. Father, the strength of His voice brings security. His smile brings a feeling of deep acceptance sought out by every child. Oh, for a blessing from Father today. Just a kind touch from His hand to my head. Oh, for a blessing from Father today, cries the heart of every child. There's something in the heart of child, whether it be boy or girl, that desires that blessing, that loving affection, that smile, that acceptance from the heart of their father. Father, His strong hand on my shoulder brings great encouragement to my life. Father, where are you going, Papa? Can I go with you? No, I'm sorry, I don't have time today. Not this time. Maybe some other time. Could you push me on the swing, Papa? Today? No, I'm sorry, sweetheart. I'm too busy. I'm sorry, I'm too busy. Father? Yes, He's my sweet daddy friend. He's sweet. He's my daddy. And He's my friend. I know Him. He knows me. We love each other. We spend lots of time together. He knows my heart. I know His heart. He knows my burdens. I know His burdens. He's my sweet and my daddy, and He's my friend. We love each other. We walk hand in hand together when we go for walks. We sit next to each other when we ride in the car. He takes me for a ride in the diesel sometimes. He's my father. He's my special friend. Father, yes, He takes me on a date sometimes. We go somewhere special together. Just He and I. Nobody else. We have special talks together at times like that. And I share all my struggles with Him. He's my friend. He's my father. Oh, Father, we remember the furrowed eyebrow at times of concern, which speak of love and care and discernment. We remember that furrowed eyebrow. We remember His enthusiasm about the things of God, how contagious it is, and how that we wanted to do the same thing and be the same thing. Just because Dad was doing it, we wanted to do it. Father, oh, it's an honorable place that God has given to us, brethren, fathers. He's given us an honorable place. Truly it's so that the glory of children is their fathers. I don't understand it all, but I know it's that way. If we want to find Father, I don't believe this morning that the answer is to go get a little family farm. Although I'm not saying that's not one of the answers. That is not the problem. The problem is not that Father left the family farm. The problem is that Father could leave the family farm. The problem is not that He left the family farm. The problem is that He wanted to leave the family farm. The city looked better. The industry looked better. The job looked better. The money looked better. The prestige looked better. The fame looked better. The fortune looked better. That's the problem. That's where Father went. Father left that family farm. He left that little shop where Johnny worked with him because there was more money to make over there. There was more prestige. There was a better career. There was more fame. There was more fortune over there. And Father left that little family farm and that beautiful fellowship that he had with Johnny and Mary and Susie as they played with their dolls over in the corner of the little shop. That's where Father went. He left there. He left that shop about 120 years ago. About that long ago. If we want to find Father, we need to go to the Bible, especially the Old Testament, for examples. We know it's so. Jewish culture and customs tell us that fathers were real fathers back then. It was a priority to be a father in the days that the Bible was written. I think of Job this morning. Oh, what a father he was. He interceded for his sons and daughters continually, long after they were gone from underneath the umbrella of his protection. There we find Job pleading with the God of heaven, offering sacrifices for his sons and daughters, interceding for them, that peradventure, maybe they'll do something wrong, and God would cover their mistakes through his intercessions. Yeah, there we'll find Father in the example of Job, who interceded for his children with earnestness and care. Where will we find Father? I think of Manoah this morning, Samson's father, when he found that they were going to have a child, realizing it was a special child, Manoah began to plead with the angel, "How shall we order this child's life?" Oh, what a beautiful example we have in Manoah this morning. May it be the cry out of every father's heart this morning as you look at your children, whether you just have one or whether there's a whole line of them in front of you by now. Yea, the prayer and the cry should be the same. Lord, how shall we order the child? How shall we raise them? How shall we do it in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation that we live in? How shall we order the child that you've given to us? Yes, Manoah's a beautiful example of a father here. I think of Joshua when I think of fathers who sat before the nation of Israel and said unto them, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve. I've already made up my own mind, but you choose this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Oh, we see the determination and the clear direction of a Joshua in the statements that he makes there. "You choose you this day whom ye will serve, but as for me and all my house, we will serve the Lord," said Joshua. Oh, blessed be his determination, his clear direction that he had there in the Bible. Oh, Joshua. I think of the Jewish fathers there at the Passover in the land of Egypt. Oh, what a blessed meditation I found as I realized that there it wasn't a priest who offered the Passover lamb, but every father killed a Passover lamb and took some hyssop and got some of that blood and put it over the doorpost of his house. And in every house there were children. And every house the children said, "Father, what are you doing putting that blood up there on the doorpost like that?" And every father got to say to every firstborn son, "I'm putting blood on the doorposts of this house so that you'll be protected from the death angel, because the death angel's coming through the land in the middle of the night. And you want to, and I want you to be protected. And the only way for you to be protected is if I put the blood from the Passover lamb on the doorposts there." Oh, what a blessed example we have of fatherhood there. Fathers, this morning, put the blood on the doorposts of your house. Make sure each one of your little ones are covered by the blood till they come to that beautiful age when they make their own decision. Yes, we can go to the Old Testament. We can find out what fatherhood is all about. Is it any wonder that Jewish culture would find that the fathers were real fathers? I think of Noah this morning as one of those fathers who saved his family in the midst of a wicked world. How did he do that? But by the grace of God. How did he do that? Except that he lifted up the principles of God. How did he do that? Except that he trained those three boys in the ways of God. That's how Noah saved his children. He didn't do it by building an ark. I'm sorry. It wasn't the ark that saved Noah's three sons. It was Noah's diligent teaching and training from the time they were little till the time they were big. That's what saved Noah's three sons and their wives. Yes, Noah's a good example of a godly father. I think of Abraham this morning, an example in the Old Testament. God said of him, "For I know him, I know Abraham, and I know that he will guide his household after me." See Abraham this morning as he sits there guiding his household. I don't know how many's in his household, but I know that he had many. At one time, I know he had 75. What does he do? But he gathers his household together and guides them. God is the God of heaven. He is the only true God. He's the God of protection. He's the God of blessing. He's the God of purity. He's the God of holiness. He's the only God. Follow Him. Live for Him all the days of your life. And God said of Abraham, "I know him. I know that Abraham. And I know, because I know him, I know he'll guide his family and his household after me," God says. When I think of fathers, I see Isaac pronouncing a blessing on his son Jacob that was real and that came to pass. A father pronouncing a blessing on his son that was a real blessing that came to pass. It wasn't a form. It wasn't a ritual. It was the Spirit of God moving through the heart of a father to pass a blessing onto a son. What a beautiful example of fatherhood we see there in that old man named Isaac as he puts his hands on his son and passes a blessing down upon him. Not just some words, but a blessing that was real, that worked, that stayed on Jacob all the days of his life. When I think of godly fathers in the Old Testament, I think of Israel, there in his old age, in the last days of his life, and how he gathered himself up there on his bed and leaned upon his cane and had all his sons pass before him. There, the 12 sons of Israel. And he gave a word of prophecy upon each one of them. Not just some words, not just some little predictions, not maybe just some thoughts that he had before he passed away, but he gave a word of prophecy upon each one of his sons. And it was real. It was the Spirit of God flowing through an old man of God and out upon his sons, one after another after another. And the prophecies came true. What a beautiful example of fatherhood we have. Old Israel prophesying on his cane in his old age. When I think of fathers, I think of Jonadab of the Rechabites. How that Jonadab, in his day, he told his children with a discerning eye, He looked around him. He evaluated the situation. He saw the Israelites. And he gave some direction to his children. He said, two things I want to tell you that will cause you to dwell peaceably among Israel all the days of the generations to come. Number one, don't build a house. Live in tents all your days. Number two, don't drink wine. Don't ever let it touch your lips. Oh, listen. Here we see a wise father with discernment, with eyes that see down the road further than the children see. And with a discerning eye, he gave direction to those children how they could dwell safely in the land of Israel. And it was so for many, many generations. Oh, so clearly did Jonadab bless his children. And so clearly did they get the blessing that God pronounced the blessing on him in the book of Jeremiah and said, look how these children followed their father. When I think of godly fathers in the Old Testament, I think of Jochebed, Moses' father, who knew by the discernment of God that he had a goodly child on his hands. He didn't understand it all. He didn't know what God was going to do. But he just knew within his spirit that he had a goodly child on his hands. He did not follow the commandment of Pharaoh, but kept the child in hiding. And finally then, cast him on the waters in faith, trusting God to take care of the goodly child. Oh, Jochebed didn't know back then that Moses would be the deliverer of all of the people of Israel. He didn't know back then that Moses would grow up in Pharaoh's house. He didn't know back then that Moses would be the instrument of God to write the commandments of God and give them to the children of Israel. He didn't know all those things, but he had discernment in his spirit that here is a godly child. A goodly child with a goodly purpose that God has upon him. And we were going to keep him. And we're going to trust God. And we're going to put him in the water and cast him on God and trust God for his life and for his future. Godly fathers. Yes, fatherhood. It needs to be lifted up this morning. It has fallen. I don't believe the answer this morning is to go get a farm. You can get a farm. There's people all over this county that have farms that are losing their children left and right. The way is not to go get the farm. The way is to get the burden that the fathers had when they had the little family farm 120 years ago. Oh, listen, we open our heart to God's heart concerning our children. If we'll open our heart this morning to God's heart concerning fatherhood, what it's all about, what He wants, what He requires of us, what our responsibilities are, if we'll just simply open our heart to those things, all the rest will take care of itself in time. Yeah, you may find yourself in a little shop in the basement. You may change your profession. You may change where you live. You may change the money you borrowed. You may change many things, but the thing that God is after this morning is that we just simply open our heart to that exalted position that God has given for fatherhood. He's lifted it up very high. Yes, a father who is a real father, he has a lot of influence on his children. I think we could call for testimonies this morning and hear many of them in this room. Those of you whose fathers have gone on, though he be dead, yet he speaks today in your heart and in your life. He was your father. I believe today, if we'll be real fathers, though we die someday, we will not die But we will live on for many generations in the hearts, in the lives, in the minds, in the memories, in the stories and the tales that are told long after we're gone, if we'll just be real fathers. God, give us wisdom this morning to establish the right priorities in our lives. May God add His blessing to the words. Shall we kneel together in prayer? Father in heaven, Lord, we praise You. God, we thank You. Lord, that You're opening our eyes. Oh, Father, we pray this morning that You'll continue to open our eyes, God, and help us to see what You want, what Your responsibility is, Lord. Oh, Father, I just pray for each one of us this morning, all of us fathers that are in this room. Lord, we lay ourselves on the altar this morning. God, we pray that You'll give us wisdom. We pray that You'll give us an understanding heart. We pray that You'll help us to establish right priorities. Oh, Father, help us, God. 1 year turns into 10 so quickly, Lord. Oh, Father, I pray You'll wake us up this morning. Wake us up before it is too late. Wake us up, dear God, to our mistakes. Wake us up, oh God, to our blindness. Help us to see where we cannot see. Lord, where we are ignorant and untaught, I pray, illumine our hearts and minds that we may see. Oh, Father, help us to see the principles. Help us to see that high, exalted place of fatherhood. Help us to see it the way You see it, oh God. For You are our example. You're our Father, which is in heaven. Oh, Lord. I just pray, God, that You just increase our burden and increase our vision for our children. And we pray this morning, God, for all of our children, these 7 benches full, Lord, just the little ones, and then all the older ones that are here. We pray, God, that You'll bless each one of them. Help us to raise them in a God-honoring, God-fearing way. Oh God, I commit the rest of the service into Your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we want to take a few minutes and give you an opportunity to share something on your heart from the first message, from the children's lesson, from the second one, whatever it may be. We just want to open it up for a few minutes here and give anyone an opportunity to share.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.